I want to introduce to you my beautiful wife, Tammy, and I am so proud of her. She has spent the last month preparing for this morning, and she has spent considerable time in prayer and fasting and anxiety and all kinds of things. And then yesterday when I came home, I took Samantha away for a few hours just to give Tammy a little bit of break at the end there, just to kind of get her act together. When I came home, she was so full of the Holy Spirit, so full of the Lord. I hated to bring her back to reality, you know. But she has a word from the Lord for you this morning. She spoke so well in the first service, and I just want you to give her your heart, give her your ears, and listen to what the Lord is speaking through her this morning. Lord, we ask your blessing on Tammy, and we pray that your anointing would be upon her. Bless her words, and may they pierce us right to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen.
Wow. It's always good to have an opportunity to share, and I'm not a preacher per se, but I do have a testimony. And, you know, our deliverance comes through the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And so that is what I'm going to share with you today. I'm going to just share something that the Lord has been taking, a journey he's been taking me on and my family on over these past few months. And just share my heart with you. Is that okay? Okay. I'm not used to doing this in both services. That was kind of, I usually cop out of the first service and make Eric preach the first one, and then I do the second one because then it's over. And so I just felt like the Lord wanted me to do it both times today, and that's the first time I've done this. So pray that I have clarity of thought. That I'm like, did I say that already? Well, yeah, I've kind of said everything already this morning, so I'm gonna feel like I repeat myself. I do that anyway. So I guess it should just be a comfortable place for me. Anyway, the devotion and the testimony I want to share with you this morning is dealing with transition and change in our lives. And actually, the more I thought about the word dealing, I figured, you know what? I really should be putting embracing with transition and change in there. But then I figured if I put the word embracing in there, I'm going to have to live what I preach. And that's, you know, it's one thing to just share it with your husband. It's another thing to actually stand up and preach it, and then everybody kind of, are you embracing it? Well, I'm going to take the challenge myself today. So this word is for me. It has been for me over these past few months, and it's for me today as much as it is for you. So I know that we need to get to a place where we embrace the place that we're at, the place that often God has us in. And, you know, it's hard enough to deal with stuff. But to embrace it is another ball game altogether. To embrace a situation, to embrace a change or a transition in your life means you have to surrender. Who likes surrendering? You know what? We have to surrender to the sovereignty of Almighty God in our lives and rest in Him and find that place of rest in Him, especially when things get difficult. And we're going to talk more about that in a bit. In the meantime, let's look at some things that transition and change, how they affect our lives and some of the things that do affect our lives, some transitions. You know, I don't believe there's anybody here today that hasn't gone through some change, transition in your life that has kind of changed your life. I know I've been through a few different things. Maybe you've lost a job. Maybe you got married. That changes your life, doesn't it? Maybe you had children. Maybe you moved. There are so many things. Maybe your children became teenagers. That's a nice one. That's a nice transition for us all. I know I can say that now. I have two. Some of the personal ones that I went through in my life, as a 9-year-old, I grew up in a little country in South Central Africa called Zimbabwe. And at the age of 9, my parents relocated to South Africa, which is the country right at the tip of Africa. And even though their countries, right, their neighboring countries, the culture was so different, that was a huge transition that I had to go through as a young person. But just know that in all these things that we go through, they mold who we become. Okay? So we moved to South Africa, and when I was a teenager, big transition, my parents got divorced. Now, it's not like we had a rough family life. My dad was the pastor of the church. So that rocked my world. What a big transitional change of so many things to have to deal with. I don't think I embraced them very well at that stage of my life, but God has taught me. And then, of course, I got married and moved once again, changed countries, moved to another country, moved from Africa to America, big transition, had children, big transition. So all these things God uses to walk us through what he's trying to mold us to be and teach us in our lives. You know, change can be an exciting thing. Transitions can be a very exciting thing, can't they? Yeah, I think so. But then for some of us, they've been unwelcome things. How many of you have gone through unwelcome change in your life? Yeah, if you haven't, you will. Sorry. I know I'm preaching the gospel. It's good news, but it does turn out to be good news. Because when we know who we belong to, we'll hear about that. I believe with all my heart that these transitions, whether they're of our own choices, our own doing or not, have the potential to make us or break us. The way we handle, that's embrace or fight them, will determine the outcome. You see, these things can mature us. If we allow God to use them in our lives, they can mature us and cause us to grow. Or we could waste our lives and allow them to totally break us and mess up our lives. And so many people have done that. But in the kingdom of God, we don't need to do that. The Bible says all things. How many things? All things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purposes. So do we love him? I'm preaching to you today. I'm preaching to us who love him and are called according to his purposes, and that is everybody. It's all determined on who we live for. And as Christians, there are two major people that we live for. God. I'm a Christian, I live for God, or myself. The only way we can truly embrace these changes in our lives is when we can really embrace God and trust fully in him, trust in his love, trust in his sovereignty, and confident in his total control, even in the midst of maybe some difficult times, maybe some confusing times. You know what the most comforting thing about God to me is? And it's just one simple thing that just is so comforting to me, and that is that nothing takes God by surprise. You know what? I am surprised on a daily basis. Okay, I am so taken by surprise by so many things. But the most wonderful thing is that nothing takes God by surprise. Therefore, I am in the palm of his hand. So none of these things should affect me the way I feel them at times. Because nothing takes him by surprise. He is in control. In fact, sometimes, if not always, he allows us to go through transitions to move us from selfishness to Christ-likeness. I want to be like Jesus. You know what? We sing it in our songs. We say it so loud and proud. any opportunity we get. But God brings these transitions, these difficult transitions in our lives to make us like Him. Am I saying transitions right, Patrick? Okay, Patrick was correcting my accent the other day. So I was like, I've got the grammar police here and the accent police there. So I just thought, and I looked over at Patrick, and I'm like, oh no, I'm saying transitions wrong. Is it transitions? How do you say it in America? Transition. Okay, I'm going to just say it my way because I've got too many other things to think about. Okay. So where was I? So God is moving us from selfishness to Christ-likeness. In John 12, verse 24, Jesus says, I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains a single seed. Me, myself, and I. You know what? I have realized how selfish I am. I like being a single seed. You know what? There's very little responsibility when you're a single seed. It's just so comfortable. No one messes with you. You know what gets into your stuff? You know what? It's just so nice being a single seed. But unless the single seed falls to the ground and dies, it cannot bear fruit. It cannot be all that God has created and designed it to be. And that is the biggest desire of my heart. So when God moves me from selfishness to Christ-likeness, He's saying, Tammy, I'm going to take your single seed and I'm going to put you to death. How fun is that, this Christian life? But no, what happens is in that death comes life, and comes life more abundantly. So unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground, unless a Tammy Eskelin falls to the ground and dies, she will remain a selfish individual. Really, isn't that what it says? But if she dies, she will bear much . So God is in the business of transformation. Christ-likeness is what He wants to transform us into. And this will enable us to move from endurance. It's good to endure. The Bible says we must endure. But you know what? I want to move beyond endurance. I don't want people to say, how are you doing today? I'm enduring. You know what? Endurance is a good thing, but we have to move from endurance to embracing. Yes, God. You know what? When the enemy comes in like a flood, you will raise up a standard. I am in the center of your will. My life is blameless before you. And I will live my life pleasing to you. I will live my life even in the difficult times. I will rise above and take a hold of what you have for me. I will rise up into the fullness of my stature in Christ Jesus, and I will walk out your plan. I will walk out your kingdom come. Your will be done here in my life as it is in heaven. And when we embrace these things, when we embrace the place God has us, we understand the potential of God at work in us. We understand the potential of what my life can be, what your life can be in the hands of an almighty God. That's a great potential. That's a bearing fruit potential. Because it's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives inside of me. And it's the potential of having His kingdom come. This year we've made as a church our theme. Eric likes to, he's a theme guy. So he likes to have a theme for every year. And this year it's Your Kingdom Come. It's like, please be careful when you make these themes. Because when God, do we know what that means? Do we know what it means to say, Lord, Your Kingdom Come in my life? That's inviting trouble. But it's inviting progress. It's inviting walking out God's purposes. So it's the potential of having his kingdom established in our very own hearts. And like Eric says, and I love this word picture, it's becoming God's image bearers. You know what? We were created in the image of God. Yes, we were. But do we bear that image every day in our lives? When you're disappointed, when you're hurting, do you bear his image? And it's not by might, my friends. It's not by power, but it's by the Spirit of God living and dwelling on the inside of you. Take a hold of it. He's called us to be image bearers. He's called us to be carriers of his kingdom. For it is God at work within us, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. I want to live for God's good pleasure. Not because he's a selfish, arrogant God who sits up in heaven with a whip. Because he's a loving God who died for me, who sent his son, who is calling me into a broad place, who is calling me into the fullness of life. And we can miss it. We have the potential to miss it in this life. We have the potential to miss it in eternity. And I will share more about that now in a little bit. God wants to answer his own prayer. His prayer. It was Jesus that taught his disciples to pray. Your kingdom come, your will be done, here on earth as it is in heaven. This is the cry of the Father. This is the heart cry of the Father. God, that your and God says that my kingdom would come, that my will would be established in the hearts and the lives and the minds of my people, of my children. And the way his kingdom comes and the way his will is done here on earth as it is in heaven is in and through our lives. So what does he do? He brings about and allows transitions and changes. I think I said it right. And changes in our lives that cause us to be molded. Sometimes the heat gets turned up and it gets uncomfortable. But the question is, are we willing to allow God to do his work and have his way in and through our lives? Am I willing? God, am I willing to die to myself? Am I willing to bear your kingdom? A few months ago, Eric and I were on the way flying to Arizona, and I pulled this little book out of his man purse. He has a man purse, and he's proud of it. It's Mother's Day. Purse is a good day. Good thing. I don't know what I'd do without my purse. I don't know how men survive without them. Get a man purse. Okay, anyway, Eric had this little book, Focus on the Family magazine, and I was reading through it, and I had been praying about what to share. I kind of had some ideas about what to share this Mother's Day, knowing that I was going to be preaching, and just asking the Lord, and I picked up this little book, and there was a great article in it called Troubled by Change, and really this little article became the birth of this sermon today. But I want to quote something that Sue Cameron, who is the author of this article, wrote here in here. She said, "What if we viewed periods of transition as the pause between good and better, as our friend and not our enemy, as pivotal moments when our life's course can move from stagnant to fluid?" You know what? I don't want to be stinky and stagnant. I want to be fluid. I want to be a fragrance. And that's what God wants for us. That's his prayer for us. So we have a choice, though. In our attitude, oh, I love telling my kids that. I think if there's anything they're going to quote me when they leave home one day is, choose your attitude. And God says it to us all the time, doesn't he? You have a choice. Maybe you don't have a choice with what you're going through. Maybe you didn't have a choice. You lost your job. Maybe you didn't have a choice. Your parents left your favorite country and moved you to somewhere where you didn't want to be. But you have a choice in how you embrace what God has you there for. So we view these things as our friend. And this has been a very personal journey over the last few months that the Lord has taken me on. But before I share my journey, I want to look at some people in the Bible that went on these fun journeys of transition. Some challenging ones that were pretty transforming in their lives. Do you know, none of these people would have become who God intended them to be had they not learned in the process to embrace the transitions that God took them through. These people learned to endure and move on to embracing and thus walk out God's kingdom purposes. And God's kingdom came and His will was done. That's why we have this book, because of men and women that lived out God's kingdom come. And I'm going to just name off some people because they're all through the Old and the New Testament. But some people in the Old Testament, I think of just, and if you want to go and read their stories, there are some great stories. There's the story of Joseph. What a guy. Sold into slavery. How fun is that? By your own brothers. Falsely accused. Not for stealing his brother's gum. But for doing something they could have had him put to death. Anybody been accused of something like that? Don't raise your hands just in case you have. Imprisoned. And then elevated and promoted to a place of prominence. Joseph's willingness to endure and embrace God's plan, which he didn't always know it was God's plan, by the way. This was something he learned as he went along. If it happens enough times to you, you're eventually like, okay, God, what are you doing here? But God's plan brought about the fulfillment of God's purposes. And guess what? He saved his nation from famine. How about Moses? Realizing the deception of his own existence and identity. You know, that would be like you finding out everything you've lived has been a lie. Everything. I mean, Moses was not only not a king, not only a prince of Egypt, but he wasn't even Egyptian. I mean, don't they have a certain color hair? I mean, I don't know if he could tell by maybe his skin color, whatever. I don't know. But suddenly he finds out he's a Jew. He's one of the people that his people were persecuting, were enslaving. Talk about an identity crisis. Maybe you're here today and you don't know where you're from either. You find yourself having been deceived. Maybe you don't know where you're going. I just want to stop and encourage you right now that God has a plan. God has known your days from first to last. And he hasn't forgotten you. Moses also ended up fulfilling God's purposes and saved his nation. Then we have Ruth. Go read the book of Ruth. It's wonderful. A sad story and yet holds for us a shadow of our Redeemer. Ruth's husband died. In obedience to her own convictions and heart, she leaves her land and goes with her mother-in-law Naomi. And God provides all the way and finds her kinsman redeemer. Esther. Esther is my favorite. And maybe because she's just this innocent, sweet, from the story that you read, just this innocent, sweet little Jewish girl who saves her nation as well. You know what? I want to be a nation saver. All these little people just saved their nations. And it wasn't much different. People were people then too. I mean, they weren't anything more special than you and me. So here we have Esther, forced to marry a man who hated her people. And she's forced to marry him because she's beautiful. Who wants to be beautiful? You know what? We all want to be beautiful. But not if it's going to be used against us, right? It's going to be used against me. Forced to live in a social status that was foreign to her and probably very uncomfortable at times. She was this simple little Jewish girl put in a palace and made queen. How do you do queen? I mean, how do you suddenly just be a queen? And to top it all, she had to keep her own identity as a Jew a secret. How do you keep secrets if you're living in a palace full of people and there's so much going around? So she lived in fear of her own life and for the lives of her people. And if you don't know the story of Esther, another one, go and read. A very good story. But you know, I'm sure Esther wasn't too happy about this arrangement. You know, maybe she had dreams of her own. I wonder if Esther thought, that's it. My whole life, as I thought it would be, has come to an end. Anybody ever got there? Everything I thought I knew and loved has come to an end. I will never be the same again. Now I have to live my life as a person in a palace who doesn't even, they don't even serve the same God I serve, and I can't even let them know who I really am. She kind of went opposite to Moses. She had no choice in where she found herself. The truth is, God had greater dreams for Esther. And if you haven't read the story, go and read it. Mordecai, her cousin, says such a wonderful thing to her. And although it might have caused me to rebel more, but for Esther, who had, I guess, just resigned herself to the fact that this is where I am now, took to heart what her cousin had said to her. And this is Haman. Let me just, for those of you who don't know the story, Haman, one of the king's counselors, really hated the Jewish people and was planning to have them all killed and had even gone so far as to cause the king to sign things to make sure that the Jewish people all get killed. And so here Esther is in the palace, a Jew. What's going to happen? So Mordecai hears of this and he says this to Esther. In Esther 4, verse 13 and 14, you don't have to turn there, I'll just read it to you. Mordecai sent back his reply to Esther. Don't think for a moment that you will escape there in the palace when all the other Jews are killed. If you keep quiet at a time like this, deliverance for the Jews will arise from some other place. Guess what? Esther had a choice to be what God wanted her to be right there. And if she did not choose that, God would have raised someone else up. You know what? You have a choice to live out your destiny and your purpose that God has for you. And if you choose not to, God will use someone else. You know what? I want God to use me. I want to be the one that brings deliverance. I want to be the one that walks out in God's purposes. And if I'm not, and we have that choice, people. You know what? This isn't, if God's not going to use you, the whole earth's going to blow up and we're all going to die. No, God's going to use someone else. I don't want God to use someone else. I do, but I want him to use me. Listen to what Mordecai says to her. It gets better. So Esther, you're not going to escape this. You're going to, and if you don't do what God's telling you to do right now, you're going to die too. And then he goes on and he says, if you keep quiet at a time like this, deliverance for the Jews will arise from some other place. But more, who can say but that you have been elevated to the palace for such a time as this? Nobody, none of you are here in the situation that you are in by mistake. For such a time as this, no matter what you're going through, if you surrender to the sovereignty of God, he will raise you up. Esther was in the right place at the right time. And you know what's so amazing about Esther is that man elevated Esther to queen. Against her desires, of course. But still, man elevated her. But God, he elevated her to a place of his kingdom come and his will be done. And Esther saved her nation. We too have a nation to save. And I don't know why, if one little boy in a prison cell, Joseph, or one old man in the backside of a desert, Moses, or one little girl, little Jewish girl, in a palace, Esther, if they can save their nations, we can save our nation. You know what the amazing thing about Esther is? Esther fasted and prayed. That's what, her beauty did not save the nation. Her becoming queen did not save the nation. The fact that she got on her knees and she fasted and prayed and got before the Almighty God for direction and guidance and wisdom, that's what saved the nation. You say, yeah, what can I do to save a nation? I'm a plumber or I'm a, hey, Charlie, or I'm a carpenter or I'm whatever you are. I'm a pastor. What can you do? What can I do to save the nation? Pray. That is what God is calling us. That is what God is calling us to do right now for such a time as this, to get on our knees, to start taking his kingdom seriously. Stop playing church. It's not about just coming to church and having your little church Sunday every Sunday. No, it's about your kingdom come, your will be done. And if we want to see our nation saved, if we want to see our community saved, if we want to see our neighbors saved, let's get on our knees and begin to pray. And in that place of prayer, God will give us, he will equip us, he will give us wisdom and guidance and what to say next, where to go next. It'll be amazing. It'll be supernatural. I mean, I don't know about you, but I've heard amazing testimonies of how people have walked into places and met up with someone who just these amazing things that begin to happen. So let's find ourselves in the right place at the right time. You know where that is? That is in the secret place. That is on our knees. You want to be in the right place at the right time? Get on your knees. You'll be in the right place. So God elevated Esther to a place of his kingdom come and his will be done. We can never tell what God is setting us up for. No matter what we're going through, we can never tell, okay, where is this going to take me? For Joseph, it started out looking like a prison cell. For Moses, a desert. And maybe from where you're sitting, it looks like sorrow. Disappointment. Hopelessness. Can we take our eyes off our own selves and selfish desires and allow God to be our author and finish our story? We quote the scripture, he's the author and finisher of our faith. Is he the author? Do we allow him to be the author and finish our story? God, I want you to finish my story. I want to finish well. Well, there are so many more in the Old Testament, examples in the Old Testament that we could look at. And then we have the New Testament. We have the disciples, Paul, Mary and Martha. And there's probably a whole gamut of them. But today, being Mother's Day, I thought it would be really neat to focus on one special lady and make it a mother's story. Mary, the mother of Jesus, a young life that took a whole new turn the day the angel visited her. Doesn't that sound like a movie? Here we have Mary, this young Jewish girl. And angel Gabriel comes to her and pretty much says to her, Mary, you've been chosen by God. And you're going to give birth to, you're going to conceive and give birth to a son by the Holy Spirit, and you're going to call his name Jesus, and he's going to save the world. You know, maybe it's because Mary was so young that she kind of was, okay. I don't know. But sometimes the Lord just kind of puts us on the spot and doesn't really give us much time to think about it. And then we say, okay, I guess I have to do that. I love Mary's response. It seemed so, just so gentle and humble and accepting right off the bat. In Luke 1 verse 38, this is what she says. I am the Lord's servant. Mary knew who she belonged to. You know what? Mary knew who she belonged to long before the angel came to her. God had prepared Mary's heart, probably through other things that had happened in her life as a young girl. I don't know. I am the Lord's servant, and I am willing to accept whatever he wants. So she accepted her kingdom commission. And I want you to know today that every single one of us have a kingdom commission. You were born for such a time as this, and God has a kingdom commission for you. You know, I often wonder, as I was reading the story of Mary and trying to get into her head a little bit, like, I wonder if Mary knew what this was going to cost her when she's so sweetly said, okay, I'll do it. I wonder if she knew about the discomfort and the slander, the potential slander. I wonder if she fully understood what it would mean to watch her little boy on a cross one day. But she said yes. Thank you, Jesus. He found someone who said yes to carrying our Messiah. And I wonder what it is that God wants us to carry. What kingdom purpose and potential would he want to birth in and through your life? And can I have Mary's attitude? Can you have Mary's attitude and say, I'm yours. I'm your servant. I know who I belong to. Your kingdom come. Your will be done here inside of me as it is in heaven. In some very small way, over the last few months, I've been able to relate a little bit to Mary. And as most of you know, about 3 months ago, God decided to turn our world upside down and brought a little girl into our lives. Now, it wasn't the angel Gabriel that appeared to us. I might not have believed it. It was a phone call from the Department of Children and Families. And do you know what the funny thing is? We got the call and we just said yes. It's like, what is that? We did not think this through at all. It was like the call came, the desperate cry came, and okay, we'll do it. And that's kind of just how it happened. I always say to Eric, God tricked us. He tricked me. This is meant to be fun. Anyway, like I mentioned before, I'm not sure that Mary knew exactly what she was getting herself into. I didn't. To be honest, at first, the thought of having a little 2-year-old run around my house seemed kind of cute, you know? It looked like a little puppy. Not. And, you know, just it'd be fun to have a little person in the house. I have 2 teenage kids, and so it'll be nice. We have lots of help. You know what? When they were toddlers, I didn't have teenagers. This must be so much easier, right? Except I also wasn't nearly 40. But it didn't take long for reality to set in. And Samantha came and lived in our house, and our time, our emotions, our schedules, our plans, our emotions and everything began to change and become a challenge. And suddenly, the biggest challenge of all is that we found our hearts in a very risky place. And often, some days, a total emotional roller coaster ride. Never sure what the end of all of this is going to look like for us or for Samantha. And you know, I don't think Mary knew what the end was going to look like for her either here on earth. But God is beginning to show me that the end isn't here. The end is eternity. And that eternity is in the balance. And unless his kingdom inside of us, unless we allow his kingdom to be established in our hearts, rises up inside of us, eternity is going to look different from what God wants it to look. God seldom shows us the whole journey, but he does prepare and equip us to walk out obedience to him. I think sometimes if he showed us the end of the story, we just, no. You know, if DSS had got on the phone and said, you're going to take Samantha and then this is what's going to happen. And then at the end, I mean, whatever they would say, I would be like, no. Are you crazy? Why would I want to put myself through that? And that's certainly not what the angel said to Mary. At the end of it all, after you've raised this beautiful little boy and you've nurtured him and you've protected him, you're going to actually have no control anymore because they're going to take him and they're going to rip his hair out of his face. They're going to whip him. They're going to hang him with nails to a cross. It's like, who wants to do that? Who wants to go through that? So God doesn't show us he just wants us to trust him. You know what? In faith comes obedience. I know him, therefore I trust him. Last Sunday, Dawn Gage, I don't know if some of you have met her. Dawn is just, like I said before, she's like a lovely breeze has just swept through this church. She's just wonderful, just a newcomer to the church. Dawn was a missionary in China for the last 20 years. And if you don't know Dawn, get to know her and ask her some of her stories. Talk about transitions and change and all kinds of stuff she's had to walk through. But last week, Dawn gave a testimony. Some of you remember she talked. And during her testimony, she made a very heart-penetrating statement that has carried me this whole week. It was like I was sitting there listening and suddenly it was everything else became dark and this thing just hit me like a thump in my chest. And she said, God doesn't always want me to do what I'm good at. He wants me to do what he's good at. You know what? I'm not good at two-year-olds. I'm not good at waking up so early in the morning. I'm not good at a sticky kitchen floor. I'm not good at my schedule changing every 5 seconds because that's what happens with children. And you can fill in the blanks in your story. I'm not good at letting go. Frankly, I'm not good at dying to myself. And through these months with Samantha, this precious little girl in our home who we've grown to love so much, God has been teaching me about his kingdom and what it means to have it established in my heart. You know that the Bible says, suffer the little children to come unto me for what? Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So if you ever wondered sometimes why these things come into your life, because especially people, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. God is teaching us about the kingdom. And it was such an awakening when I realized, God, you're teaching me about your kingdom. That's why Samantha's here. Yeah, you know what? She needs a home right now, and she could have a home anywhere. God has Samantha in my life because he wants to teach me about the kingdom. And maybe God's taking you through the transition in your life because he wants to teach you how to be a kingdom carrier. You know that mothers were physically first, but we're, for the most part, and even if you've never carried a child, you're spiritual kingdom carriers. All those people's lives you have influenced, and maybe, and not just mothers, men here too, fathers, brothers, were kingdom carriers like Mary carried Jesus, our Savior. We carry his brothers and sisters, whether it's someone you're mentoring, whether it is a child in your home, whether whatever. We are caring for Jesus' brothers and sisters, the bride of Christ. Let's take this seriously. And his kingdom belongs to his family. So what does God do? He gives us children to teach us about his kingdom. He gives us sometimes difficult people to teach us about his kingdom. He gives us all kinds of things to teach us about his kingdom. For me, it's a little girl in my house. If we had had Samantha for about 3 days. So I was pretty new at this and the novelty was still good. It was still a novelty, I should say. And I was in the grocery store with her and she saw something she wanted and she couldn't have it. So I said no. And I was holding her hand, and she proceeded to throw herself on the floor and scream bloody murder, flailing her arms and legs in the air. And it's like, I don't do children like this. It's like, what is this? So I kind of stood there for a moment, getting a little embarrassed. Like, get up. You're ruining my reputation here. Anyway, And she's fraying and she's screaming all over the floor and literally squirming and hitting and lashing out so much so that I couldn't even pick her up at first. And it's like, you know, my kid would get a good swat to the behind at that point, but I don't know what to do here. And all I want to do, and all these people are kind of walking by, and they're not looking at Samantha. She's the one screaming. They're looking at me. It's like, here. And I want to say, she's not mine. She's not mine. I've only had her 3 days. She's not mine. And I kept, and I'm so embarrassed and humiliated. And I eventually get her up, and I run to the car, and I stick in her car seat, and it's like, oh, God, I didn't expect this. And I get in the car, and I'm flustered and embarrassed, and I'm like, all those people thought she was mine. And and she's still screaming. And God, in his wonderfulness, gentle sweetness, just whispers so gently in my ear and says, Tammy, she's mine. And I began to weep. And that was the first of many kingdom lessons I have been learning. Every night when I hold her in my arms and pray over her, I think it's just the Lord, she surrenders. And she just lies in my arms and she stares into my eyes and sometimes touches my face. And I'm like, why can't you be like this all the time? I pray over her and I know at that point when I stare into this little girl's eyes that eternity is in the balance here. That this isn't about the discomfort here and now. This isn't about I'm exhausted because I woke up at 5 o'clock this morning and you didn't want to sleep till 11. This isn't about I still haven't cleaned the kitchen floor and Lord knows Eric's shoes are going to stick to it in the morning. I know he hates that. I have to just let that out of the bag. He hates that. He hated it with my kids too. It's like, sorry, I didn't get to it. But it isn't about that. It's about his kingdom come. And our obedience to this sometimes difficult and uncomfortable transition cries out, Lord God, your kingdom come and your will be done here in my home, here in my family, whatever it is. Yes, like Mary, whatever he wants, I will do. And I've discovered that when I finally surrender to the selfish fight for me and what I want, and I quiet my heart and mind and surrender to God's love. This is about a loving God. I can hear the Father say, be still and know that I am God. Isaiah 43:2 says, when you walk through the water, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep you away. How about well done, my good and faithful servant? Oh God, I'm so far from that right now. But I know that when I stand before you one day, I want to hear that. I'm sure Mary and Joseph and Moses and so many who have gone before us have heard those words. And you know what? I want to be in on that. I want in on well done, my good and faithful servant. Because I love him. Because I know him and I know he loves me. And I know that unless this little seed falls to the ground and dies, I cannot be all he wants me to be. And I want you to be all he wants you to be. I'm going to end with Hebrews 12, verse 1 to 3. And you can turn there with me if you want. Hebrews 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses, you know who they are? They are the Marys and the Josephs and the Moses and the martyrs that have gone before us. They're cheering us on because they ran this race and they want us to run it well. They know what it means to end well. So therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, every fear, every selfish ambition, every lie, every unbelief, especially the sin that so easily hinders our progress. And let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, in whom our faith depends from start to finish, the author and the finisher of our faith. He was willing to die a shameful death on the cross because of the joy he knew would be his afterward. Are we willing to do what it takes now because of the joy that is set before us? Now he is seated at the place of highest honor beside God's throne in heaven. Think about all he endured. Yes, you can endure. Jesus did. When sinful people did such terrible things to him, so that you don't become weary and give up. He works all things together for our good, for the good of us who love him. And are called according to his purposes. My friends, as Christians, we are called to live out the purposes of God. And that's your choice today. That's your choice. That's your choice to determine what the end is going to look like. The end maybe not being the here and now life that we know, but the end being eternity. Our nation is in the balance. Do we have some nation savers here? Do we have some people who are willing to say, I'm going to get on my knees until this nation is saved? Because that is what God has called us to do. Don't worry. When you go through various trials and transitions and changes, embrace them. Take the bull by the horns. Say, I'm not going down without a fight. And live for him. Let him be the finisher of your story. Father, I pray today that you would seal your word in the hearts and minds of your children here. Lord, I thank you for your mercy that endures forever. I thank you for your love, Lord Jesus, that holds us when we can't hold ourselves together. I pray, Father, for our nation, that you would use us, Lord Jesus, that you would use us for your kingdom come and your will be done here on earth, here in our lives, here in our church, here in our homes, here in our families, as it is in heaven. We love you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.